Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see the picture on the front cover of your service folder of a group of Jews picking up stones to throw at Jesus, and at least this time, Jesus simply walking away from them. As we heard at the end of the gospel, that's the way it turned out when he was done speaking. Why did they hate him so much? If you listen to modern scholars or politicians talk about Jesus and his message, you'd think Jesus had come to get rid of all strong statements or controversial statements, to get people to stop talking about things like sin and God's commandments, to stop talking about divisive things like doctrine and religion. Instead, to focus just on doing good deeds and improving human society, or maybe rising up against the oppressor and implementing social justice. But you who have actually read the Gospels know the truth, that Jesus was always making strong statements, bold assertions that dealt with the very truths that get at the heart of the matter of man's relationship with God. He told the truth about God's commandments, about man's sin, God's condemnation of sinners, and God's mercy toward sinners, and about himself as the Savior from sin, the one and only reconciler of God and man. He spoke of faith in himself. He spoke of showing love in this world, not even as the goal, but as preparation for the goal of spending eternal life in the presence of the God who is love. Eternal life that is reserved for those who believe in him, and only for those who believe in him. But that's why he was hated, for statements like that. Listen to some other strong statements Jesus made in the words in the chapter leading up to our text for today. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Or, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Or, in the words right before our gospel today, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. That was the statement that came right before the words of our gospel, and then our gospel continued with more strong statements and bold assertions. The first one, not exactly a statement, it's a question, but it's a question with a very direct implication. Which one of you convicts me of sin? In other words, I am sinless, and you all know it. Jesus wasn't even talking here about his perfect holiness as God and man. He wasn't talking about his pure, sinless heart and desires and motives, which no other human being has ever been able to claim for themselves. He was talking here about outward sins, sins that other people can see and recognize and condemn, but he hadn't committed any of those sins either. And he knew it. And they knew it. So why did the Jews hate him? Why didn't they believe him? Jesus gives us the answer, an answer which they really hated to hear. You do not hear me because you are not of God. Well, that's a powerful, damning assertion and accusation. Well, these Jews to whom Jesus was talking were very religious. They claimed to know God, they worshiped him with their lips, but at the same time they rejected Jesus. And Jesus' assertion is this: you can't worship God and at the same time reject Jesus. It's like trying to go north and south at the same time. If you reject Jesus as God and Lord, then you reject the Father and the Holy Spirit too, no matter how much you say you praise and worship him. And the only way to hear and believe Jesus is for God, the Holy Spirit, to make a person to be of God, to give a person a new birth and a new life through faith. The Holy Spirit of God has to do that work of making a person of God, because by nature we all start out being of the devil because of the sin with which we're born, in which we live, until God makes us to be new people. The Jews came back at Jesus then with an accusation of their own. Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon? Now, the Samaritans, as you know, did have false beliefs about God, pagan beliefs mixed together with a few Jewish beliefs. But instead of trying to instruct the Samaritans in the truth, the Jews had mostly grown haughty and loveless toward the Samaritans, viewing themselves as both doctrinally and racially superior. Well, Jesus blew off that insult about being a Samaritan, partially, in fact, because in a sense, he was a Samaritan. He was the good Samaritan of his own parable. But he doesn't get into that here. He does deny having a demon, though. I do not have a demon. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and who judges. The Jews claimed Jesus was the one dishonoring God with his teaching that all men are sinners, including them, and that salvation is by grace alone, through faith in him, not by them doing their works of the law as they thought they were doing. But Jesus claimed to honor his Father. And more than that, he claimed that God the Father sought honor for Jesus the Son, and that God would judge those who failed to honor him. What an assertion that is. If you don't honor me, God will judge you. It sounded crazy. It sounded extremely arrogant, and it would have been if Jesus weren't the very Son of God. Well, Jesus goes on to make a strong statement and a promise so bold, so incredible, that he must either be insane or he must be the very Son of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, the Jews mistook that to mean physical death, as if Jesus were promising that no one who kept his word would ever even physically die. Well, they laughed. The prophets died, and they kept God's word. Abraham died, and he surely kept God's word. What they didn't understand is really the heart of the gospel, that Jesus, the innocent Son of God, would willingly taste death for everyone, as it says in Hebrews, that he would make atonement for the world's sins, that he would pay for sins once for all, so that all who believe in him will live even though they die. They will never experience the torments of hell. They will never suffer God's abandonment or wrath or condemnation. They will never cease being alive in their soul, even when their lungs stop breathing and their hearts stop beating. And on the last day, those who kept the word of Christ in this life will take part in the glorious resurrection of the righteous, when death is swallowed up in victory for all who believed in Jesus. That's what he meant. That's what he was asserting, that he had authority over sin and power over life and death, that he was the high priest of the good things to come, as you heard in today's epistle, and that his blood is able to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, that he is the mediator of the New Testament. Oh, they hated him for that, because they were so in love with their Old Testament. Well, not really. They were actually in love with a false version of the Old Testament. The real Old Testament agreed with Jesus that man can't save himself by doing good deeds or being a good person or being of the right race. The real Old Testament pointed to the coming Christ and to the new covenant or the new testament he would institute, a testament of forgiveness, of redemption from transgressions under the First Testament. The Jews thought the First Testament, the one God made with Abraham, was all they needed. They were Abraham's children. What more did they need? Surely not this latecomer, Jesus, this young man, not even 50 years old. But now Jesus makes the boldest claim of all. Your father, Abraham, was glad that he would see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to be greater than Abraham, greater than the priests in Israel, greater than King David, greater than the temple, and certainly greater than the Jews who confronted him there that day. I am is the holy name of the Lord, God, Yahweh, he who is. And it's exactly what Jesus was claiming to be. I can't think of a stronger statement than that. And it's why the Jews started picking up stones at that very moment to throw at Jesus, because he was claiming to be their God. And they refused to believe that he was. They weren't successful on that day. Jesus' hour had not yet come. It would be a few more months until that final Passover that we'll start celebrating next week, Sunday, when their God would allow himself to fall into their hands, to be mistreated, condemned, and crucified. But the Son of God would be vindicated by God the Father, proved right in all he said. As we sang in today's introit, the title for this Sunday of the church year, Eudica, Vindicate Me, O God, and Plead My Cause Against an Ungodly Nation. He was vindicated by God in two ways, really, by the Word of God itself, which Jesus fulfilled to the letter in preaching and in suffering and dying. Even more, he was vindicated by the Father in his resurrection from the dead. But the final vindication of Jesus will come, the ultimate proving him right, on the last day, when he shows himself openly to the world to be the very God he claimed to be all along, the great I Am. Now, if you would follow Jesus, if you would be his disciples, then you also have to echo his strong statements and his bold assertions. I believed, therefore I spoke, says the psalm. Now, you've already made some of those strong statements in this service here this morning. The whole liturgy that you say or sing, the hymns that you sing, are all strong statements, culminating in that strongest of all statements in the Nicene Creed, I believe. And again, in your participation in the supper of him who died and rose again, you're making strong statements and bold assertions just by being here on a Sunday morning in a Christ-confessing Christian church. Outside these walls, the life you live And the words you speak must also reflect the bold claims of Jesus as you speak the truth about all things, but especially about mankind's sin and God's grace in Christ Jesus. You know how you'll be treated when you speak like Jesus spoke. You'll be hated like Jesus was. You'll be lied about, slandered, falsely accused, and maybe worse. And the devil will make you to feel like you are all alone in this world, with no one at all to vindicate you. But your vindication will come from God. It already comes through His Word, which proves the Christian faith right against all who deny it. And His vindication often comes in other ways too, as God supports His people and never lets the righteous fall. But sometimes God does allow the world some temporary victories over His people, as even Jesus was allowed to be crucified and put to death. In the end, you will see, all will see, that God has loved you and that you were right to believe in Christ Jesus and His truth. In the end, you will be vindicated just as Jesus was. Until then, may God preserve you in faith and inspire you to keep confessing Him boldly, no matter the consequences. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.